Very good evening. It's good to see everybody. I hope everyone's doing well. Got people coming in. We're going to get started here. So tonight we continue with the Lost series that was started by Brian. Remember, he did the love and the offer, and we're going to cover service tonight. So just as a quick review, reaching Jews. That must be a wrong one. I think we need to put mine in there, because we're not going to be reaching the Jews tonight. We might, who knows? So we might want to reload that. So as we reload the PowerPoint, could you please check that? We talked about the circle, that, you know, worship God and all that, and we go around to reaching the lost, the LOST, love, offer, serve, and teach. And so we've talked about love, we've talked about offer, we are going to be talking about serve, and we're going to do teach. And if you happen to have your syllabus, maybe you do, maybe you don't, just as a refresher, we've talked about some broader items, like it's a process, not an event. We've talked about reframing rejection, things of that nature. And now we're in the lost process here, and then we will move on to a bit more. I don't know if it's me or not, but anyway. So let's... Huh?
It should be good.
Okay, let's see if it's good. So we're at love, offer, serve, and teach. So that's where we are. I hope. Let's see when I poke this button where we are. So that's okay. So since we're sort of settled a little bit, let's go ahead and to God in prayer, and then we'll pick back up. Our gracious God in heaven, how wonderful it is to be here. But we're here only because you saw fit to serve us, to take care of us and provide for us. Because when we were yet sinners, you sent your Son to die for us. Our Heavenly Father, your Son was certainly a servant, but he led us. He showed us how to be good servants. And our Heavenly Father, it is my prayer tonight that as we gather to learn how to serve, that I will not get in your way, that the message that I have prepared will help all of us learn how to serve more like you. We ask our Heavenly Father that we have a servant mindset, that we will look for service and service opportunities. We ask that you would always take care of us and always bless us. For it's in Christ's name. Amen. All right. So we just talked about the love, offer, serve, and teach, how that sort of rounds out that cycle. So when you talk about service... That's not just a biblical thing. It's things that we see in everyday life, don't we? Have it your way. I think it was the Burger King slogan. And we could see different, and I've just picked up three. There's a million of them, but if I've got it correct here, yes. Thank you, AB. There's quotes. I hope you can read this. I hope. So, everybody can be great because everybody can serve. This is what Martin Luther King said. When faith replaces doubt, when selfless service eliminates selfish striving, the power of God brings to pass his purpose. Earn your success based on service to others, not at the expense of others. So we know about Martin Luther King. Thomas S. Monson is the president of the Church of the Latter-day Saints, the Mormon Church. And then this gentleman, H. Brown Jr., is just an American author. He wrote, and I'm not familiar with this, but he wrote, a book. I don't have it. It just left my mind. I need to stick my finger in my ear so it wouldn't leave, but I'll catch up with you on that. But we can see in these quotes that service is pervasive through our society. But more importantly, It's in the Bible. So if we look at this, now we'll set the setting here in a minute. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Now here he's talking to the apostles, and they've had a little tussle here about who's the greatest in the kingdom. And it was with James and John. And basically, what he's telling them, look, we're not going to be like that. That's how the Gentiles are. That's not how we are. So what we're talking about here is, he's saying even the Son of Man is going to serve. And what he's saying with the even, I think he's trying to say, I'm supposed to be served. I am supposed to be served. You are supposed to do the serving. But you guys want to be the boss. You guys want to rule the roost. And so he's saying, but if I came to serve, that's how you guys are going to be too. So when we start thinking about Christianity, I think we need to understand that probably service is a hallmark, is a key of Christianity. Because like I prayed, who came here and served us on a cross? Jesus, right? We could have got on the cross. That wouldn't have done any good. There would have been three criminals instead of just two. So that wouldn't have done us any good. But you see, even the Son of Man came. And I want you to keep this in our mind, this Mark 10:45. We'll revisit this. So with that being said, what do we do today? How do we look at service? Got a question. In general, who in here thinks that you need to go to college? When you go to college, what are you going to study? What might you study? Just as a, you know, accounting maybe? Engineering? Let's see, anthropology? Okay, there's a lot of things that you could study. Most people say, no, I don't want to study that. I want to study astrophysics. But no, we don't go down that road. That's no. Math, even worse, maybe. I know, that's me. I have a kindred spirit now, finally, Carrie Ann. So what I'm saying is, if you think about it, does people go to college to be a janitor? No. Janitorial services is very important. Trash collection is very important. Let your trash pile up, you'll find out it's important. But think of how we think. We don't think going low, we think of going high. The next time you show up, guys and the ladies that may work outside the home, got a question for you. When you go and you have your evaluation, do you say, I'm looking for a demotion and at least a 25% pay cut? That's what I want. I demand, no, I won't take 20. That's not how we think. So when we're talking about this, we're talking about service. We're talking about stepping down. We're talking about stepping down. Not what can someone do for me, what can I do for you? I mean, JFK said what? Remember what JFK said? Anybody remember? Do for you, for your country. Somebody gets a gold star here. Thank you, Mary. She got it right out of the gate. She sat down, boom. Very good, thank you. So I think that helps us sort of transition to a question. So how is service or serving others expressed in the Bible? It provides scripture so that it gives us a sense of what you're seeing. So how is service or serving others expressed in the Bible? Please provide scriptures. We have Jeff up here. And we have Mary up here. She must really want two gold stars or something. She's wanting all the answers. That's good. How is service or serving others expressed in the Bible?
Well, the one that I thought of was in Acts 9, the lady Dorcas. Mm. And the way that it was expressed in the Bible was it was something that the people remembered about her after she passed. Peter had come, and she had passed. They took him upstairs to where she was. I guess her body was laying there. I can't remember. But they took him out there and showed him the garments that she made. So it was a very cherished thing that they remembered about her even after she had left.
So there you go, Dorcas. Okay, very good. I guess Mary next. Raise your hand.
Luke 10:30 through 37, the Good Samaritan. That question was actually asked of Jesus, who is my neighbor, when he said, love your neighbor as yourself. And so he gave the perfect example there of someone who went above and beyond to serve someone in need.
Serve someone in need. So we have the Good Samaritan. We have Dorcas, the Good Samaritan. We have one up here. Oh, Brian, I didn't see the microphone.
Oh, sorry.
No, not a problem. It's like...
I think about Moses. When he has this amazing opportunity to be in Pharaoh's palace, you know, raised in royalty, but it says in Hebrews 11 that when he had grown up, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. So service often is expressed in the Bible as something sacrificial. You're giving up your own pleasure for the benefit of other people. And Moses is a great example of that.
True. And what did he step down from? I mean, Moses. This wasn't just some halfway house kind of program. This was the palace of Pharaoh. So when he stepped down from a lot, definitely from an earthly perspective, but he stepped up spiritually. So I had a couple, I had the Good Samaritan, I had those in need, which I think was hinted at. Or no, sorry, I Debbie, I apologize.
That's okay.
Go for it.
Matthew
8.
There was a man with leprosy that came up to Jesus and said, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And it said, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, be clean.
So he met people's physical needs. He was the great physician.
The great physician. And he did it. This was the man with leprosy. Could the leper heal himself?
No.
Could he have gone to the doctor? No. So Jesus was a servant. He helped when the person could not. I had when it was inconvenient there in Luke 4:40 it talks about at sunset after a long day. What about the apostles and washing their feet? Now question, hands. Who wants to wash feet? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. See? Jesus did that. Jesus did that. It wasn't dust that was just on their feet. Mud, nasty sores. They had animals walking around, so they stepped in a variety of things. Jesus was washing their feet. What about take up your cross? Ooh. Anybody wants to take up a cross? That's like taking up an electric chair. Okay? What about do good, serve to them that hate you. Matthew 5:44. Anybody volunteering to go down and serve the people that hate you? No. That's service. And it certainly wasn't any kind of charts or Excel spreadsheets. If it's Excel spreadsheets, I'd love it, but that's, sorry, too bad, Joe. That's not how we do it. It was with blood, sweat, and tears. And so we have to understand with this question, if service is good enough for Jesus, then it is good enough for
me.
That's right. And we have to understand this service, I think, as a sort of a bit of a corollary here. It's not a service that says, I'm going to help Matt Heinle, and I'm going to put him on the clock. We're going to see when he comes over and helps me. I mowed his yard. He better be mowing my yard. So it's not service with attachments. It's service with expecting nothing. I think we got a hand here. We got a hand. Sorry, Randy. I thought you're... I'm not very good on the microphones tonight. I do apologize. So we'll see what Randy has to say here.
Yeah, I was thinking of the previous thing about... services. I thought two examples. One of them is James 2:18. I'll show you my faith works. Mm. And another one that's maybe a little bit off grid, so to speak, is when Jesus is about to be arrested and Peter cuts off Malchus' ear. Mm-hmm. Of course, he wasn't trying to hit his ear. He's trying to take him out.
Yep.
And, you know, that's a pretty serious injury. Jesus is about to be arrested and crucified, but he stops and heals him. That's true love service there.
That's right. So we talked about Malchus, the servant of the high priest, where Peter was doing a little practicing with his sword, and he didn't catch his neck and cut his ear off. You know, Jesus could have said, hey, you know, you guys deserve it because you're, you know, I'm Jesus. Don't you guys know? No, he said, here. First he said, Satan, get behind me, to Peter. And then he heals his, you know, now, I don't know. I'm not a doctor. Maybe talk to Matt or somebody that's in the medical field. I don't think at the time putting ears back on was real easy. So, you know, he could have bled to death. So there's a lot of service. We can find it all through the Bible. That's for sure. Now, I'd like to read a story. And I hope you can read this. So this gives you a sense of a story. And I have to say, I got this from Brian. Some of these, a good bit of these notes came from Brian. But this really caught my eye. A man had just bought a bouquet of flowers for his wife. And he was standing in line to check out. There was an older lady in front of him. She turned around and said with mixed emotion in her voice, I remember when my husband used to bring me flowers, but he died many years ago. The man expressed his condolences. They exchanged the typical pleasantries and said goodbye. Then he had an idea. He ran out to the parking lot and gave those flowers to the woman. She was so touched by this that she invited the man over for tea, and they had a great conversation. Now, apparently that man and his wife had moved 5 different times, yet this woman in her old age, even the son, even 10 years later, the older lady tracked them down and sent him a package with gifts for their kids and also wrote him a letter about how that act of kindness encouraged her so much. So little was given, so much was received. It's amazing what we can do. It's amazing what we can do. Maybe you have a story like this where something really touched you, really changed your life. Okay. For me, January 1986 was a really rough time. I didn't eat very much that month, not that day, but that month, very, very little. It was a time when I finally said, God, I need some help. I need a lot of help. Back in my drum corps days. And so Ron Pfeiffer, he was a fellow bass drummer with me in Santa Clara Vanguard. And I said, can I hang out at your house? His dad, Roger Pfeiffer, he's since passed on, Papa Pfeiffer, that's what I called him, said, yes, you can come. That man saying yes to me was an answer to a prayer. I could not stand here without him saying yes, because it was a prayer kind of like, you know, the prodigal son being in the pig pen saying, God, I need to be helped to go the right direction. And that's what he did for me. Everybody has those kind of stories where he just gave me a room. But for me, it was much more than a room. It was a palace. So we just have to think along those lines. Now, what are ways that we can serve others? There's a variety of ways that we can do it. And so if we just have a look here, what are the practical ways that we can serve others? How can we serve others? It doesn't have to be big, doesn't have to be small. Got a question here. So we got the microphones. How can we serve others? I got a hand here with Brian. How can we serve others?
If you've ever known anybody who takes the bus, it is the worst because the routes are just so insanely long. So somebody might not live very far, but if they have to take a bus, it could take them like an hour and a half or 2 hours just to get somewhere that's a 15-minute car ride. Mm. So imagine offering that person a ride home, a coworker or something like that. You know, obviously, think appropriately. If it's a woman and you're a guy, then be alone. Okay, I get all that. But that's just a great, for you, that's not really a big deal, like 15-minute drive or whatever. But for them, that's just huge because it takes so much of their day to have to do that.
So give people rides if they're on the bus and you have a car. Jeff?
The thing I thought of was using our skills and talents to help people in various ways, whether it be maybe you are a good organizer or cleaner. Mm-hmm. You know, you can help someone with cleaning up their house or organizing things in their garage or their house or whatever. Maybe you know how to work on computers. You can help them with that kind of thing. You have a big garden and you share part of your garden, and we have people that do those kind of things as congregations, so it's really good.
Cool. So make use of your talents. God gave us plenty. Find some to use. Anybody else? How can we, practical ways to serve others? Carrie Ann? I know a good way Carrie Ann can help. I already know.
No pressure. We've really enjoyed letting people stay in our home. That's something that I saw modeled a lot growing up, and so we've been blessed to be able to give that to others.
Super. I thought she was going to say, if you need math help, Carrie Ann's your lady. Got one more, I think, here with Brian.
Yeah, I had a general manager at Papa John's when I worked there who amazed me because, I mean, he wasn't just a manager. He was a GM. He was above the managers.
Okay.
And he could have just stayed locked in the office, you know, doing office work. But he would come out and help us clean at night when we were closing. He'd be down literally on his knees scrubbing the tile with a toothbrush, which is something that that wasn't even really our job to do. But he went above and beyond, lowered himself, right? Our level.
Right.
He said, I'm too good for this. But he actually helped us get done with our work faster by serving us in that way.
Perfect. So service, when you're at the top, reach down, means a lot. So I came up with a few. I hope you can sort of read these. These are probably off the beaten track. A lot of people think of, you know, mowing the lawn and all that kind of stuff. Ask for something or help. You will be amazed if you say, Ryan, can I borrow your ladder? Yeah, man, they're in that garage. They got the thing up and they're getting it. Where do you want to put it? Like next door neighbor, I needed a ladder and his went way is real tall. That guy was just, he about knocked down his garage. He about put a hole in the garage where he ran in there. So that helps. Talk to people who look out of place, who are sitting by themselves. Mentor someone. Look for someone who really needs mentoring, who's not getting it. Hold the door for someone. We need to take care of our ladies. So let's hold the door for the ladies. Let's hold the door for those that are, a little bit older. Own your mistakes. Don't spend all the time saying, oh, it's not me, it was, no. If you did it, own it. Give anonymously. And I'd like to just spend just a moment of time here. So I read that on Friday, there was a couple that got married in South Carolina. And they got married on the beach. And it was Sam and Eric. Sam is a lady for Samantha, and Eric is the husband. They got married. They went to a reception, and when they were leaving the reception, they got killed, or she got killed while they're in a like a golf cart or whatever. So the guy who's now laid up in the hospital married the woman of his dreams for 5 hours. That's brutal. So his mother started a GoFundMe. And this is for, you know, this is a younger couple, you know, medical expenses, et cetera, et cetera. I think we get it. Funeral expenses for his wife. So they asked for $100,000. Right now, $614,000. Now, the point of that is not the $614,000. I would say 98 to 99% of these people have no clue who these people are, except for a picture. That's all they know. And some of them probably didn't even say who it was. It's amazing if you give $10 to give anonymously. what a service to these people. This guy, when he gets all of his two or three, four surgeries done, it'll be amazing that he will have hundreds of thousands of dollars to take care of all of that. Write a note. Choose to be happy. Be appreciative. There's other things. Yes, mow the lawn. Bake a cake. Whatever you need to do. So as we move forward, I think now that we've talked about service, let's have that service mindset. Let's be looking. Like, for example, if God allows time to stand and Sunday comes along and it's 9 o'clock, where do you plan on being? Where? Where? Here. So you have a worship mindset. That's a great thing. Have a service mindset. Let everything that you see be service, service, service. I know our brother Michael Lodge here, he's had a wonderful career in the hospitality industry. It's about service. It's about service. You could probably talk to him. It's about service. Serve the people. Listen and watch for needs. When you have your interactions, what are they saying? What do you see? Maybe you see something at their house. I can fix that window for you. Would you like that? Know your skill set. Somebody said that. I don't know who said it. Jeff said that. Know your skill set. If you don't know how to add, don't go say, hey, I can teach your son how to... No, that's not going to help. But you get the idea. And nothing is too small. If you think, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to wait until 2027. I know something big is going to come along. You've missed all those opportunities in the interim. Nothing is too small. Take advantage of those. If something big comes along, yeah, move on it. But take advantage of the small opportunities that come along on a daily basis. But I think probably the most important thing, offer to serve. Don't wait for them to ask. They'll tell you, no, I don't need that quite yet. Randy, thank you. I'm going to work on that next month. Come back next month. But ask. Now, I'm going to say, I am absolutely preaching to myself about that. Okay? I am not doing what I need to do about reaching out. So it's a challenge to myself to go ask people, hey, how can I help you? Maybe nothing, who knows? You know? But offer to serve. Because remember what Brian talked about. We have so much to offer. One of the things that we have to offer is service. Nothing's too small. Know your skill set. Listen and watch for needs. Just be aware. Now, I think I'd like to transition at this point to bring up a story. So there's a group or a guy that what he does is, and I don't know which it is, but he goes to gas stations. Now think about gas stations. In your mind right now, think about a gas station. Okay, gas station, gas station, gas station. Now, think about the bathroom at the gas station, the bathroom at the gas station. Yeah, I know. I get it. I've already had this. I wrote this down, so my brain's already been there. Now, this guy goes up and says, hey, how are you doing? Oh, I'm doing fine. Can I wash and clean up your bathroom? Are you escapee from the loony bin? So you got some minnow shoes, you know? Hey, I even got my own stuff. Just give me some water. I got a pail and I got the... Think about that. Service sometimes comes with sacrifice. I think Brian may have mentioned that. So let's think about that for a second. So let's consider our previous scripture. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And what? To sacrifice. To give his life. To die. To be murdered. As a ransom. To pay the debt that we couldn't pay to God for many. For everybody. So it's not only that you're going to serve, but it's you're going to sacrifice in your service. We see a variety of religions as we watch some of the videos, and you know, I think it's very important that we understand. I think Christianity is probably one, maybe the only one, I probably need some help on that, where, think about this, the maker dies for the maid. Jesus died for us. That seems sort of weird. But let's think about this for a moment too. In a previous class, we talked about we need to persuade people. And Jesus draws people to himself, right? Remember that? And I, if I am lifted up, right, from the earth, will draw all people to myself. Question. How did he draw people to himself? How are people attracted to Jesus? How is that? He sacrificed. He did it by sacrifice. He paid a debt we couldn't have paid. There's no chance at that. Now, what does that sacrifice mean, though? And I think we get this, but I still think it's good for us to go through it. We are his enemies. We're wicked. We're sinful. We're filthy. We should have died. Right? Think about it. We should have died. So the cross of Christ, get rid of that, and guess what? There would have been trillions of crosses out there. Why? Every cross would have had everybody's name on it. Because we should have died. And he should have lived. He shouldn't have even come from heaven. He should have said, God, you got to be kidding me. But he came down. And God put us before himself, particularly before his son. We were more important to God than his own son. So we should now put God first. The sacrifice that we had, or that was given for us, we should be putting God first. So let's see how this looks scripturally. This is probably going to be a little small. Get your binoculars on, electron microscope, whatever works for you. I will read it. Philippians 2, 3 through 8. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility consider one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for yourself or for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, as he already existed in the form of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but emptied himself into us by taking the form of a bond servant and being born in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death. Death on a cross. I could have made up a bunch of stuff, but it doesn't. This says it all. This says it all. So I think it's important for us to think along those lines. But I mean, you might be thinking, but what does this really mean to me? I understand service. I understand sacrifice. But what does this mean to me? I think as we roll through this, we'll start to understand. Okay, service does not need to have sacrifice. For example, what if somebody came to your door and said, I need some sugar? Does that put anybody out? Anybody say, ooh, that wasn't in my budget, that cup of sugar. Not in America. There are some people, but virtually none. I'm not saying that's not a sacrifice. And I'm not saying you have to be sacrificial, but I'm just saying, in the next sentence, meaningful service includes some sacrifice. It includes some. That's when you start putting meat to the bone. It means stuff to people. Just like the lady, it meant something to her 10 years later that somebody just gave her flowers in the parking lot. The greater the sacrifice means greater service. Let's go back to the gas station. So we're at the gas station. So you walk in and let's say Randy, he's the owner. And I go in and I say, Randy, I would like to sweep the floors at the gas station. Okay. Can I get your broom? Yeah, here's the broom. Sweep. Randy, I'd really like to clean those windows. Well, there's some Windex back here. Does that seem, that seems like service? Maybe there's a little sacrifice. Maybe you want to be on the golf course or the beach or wherever you find yourself. But the next thing that I would ask is, what if you went in there and you said, Randy, I would really like to clean the gas station parking lot. Now think about the gas station parking lot. Well, people overfill and it gets gas all over the place. And people chew this stuff called gum and they throw it all over the, yeah, you're going to clean that up. You know, it's not pink anymore. Remember, it's black. Right? And then there's these things called cigarette butts. Yeah, you got to pick those up too. Does that mean a little bit more to you, Randy? Probably does. But if I came to you and said, hey, I'm going to use all my stuff. I'm going to clean that thing called the bathroom. You're like, wow. So you can see there is degrees to service. Either one, all three of them are perfect. But it's going to mean something to Randy that somebody goes in and cleans that bathroom. I think another thing as we go down through here, serve even when it might hurt. You don't have enough time. You don't have enough money. You're tired. You're hungry. It's inconvenient. You know, I would really rather be at that movie I've planned to see. But I got to go clean the bathroom at the gas station. Does that make sense? There's some different, it means different things to people depending on what you're doing. But I will say, don't overextend. Don't promise I'm going to give you $100 when you have a dollar. Don't promise I'm going to, I will give you all of next week when you only have an hour. I knew of a couple when Susan and I first got married. He was a young preacher at the congregation where we attended, and he did a great job with the youngsters, the high school or middle school. But he was there all the time. His wife would get pregnant. It was a good time. But she lost the baby. I can't say for a fact it was because he was always away, but I know there was a lot of stress because he was always away from the home. The beauty to that story is she would become pregnant again with twins. So God takes away and God gives. But I've got to imagine, make sure you take care of the home fires, take care of your family, because you can't love beyond the love that you have. You know what I'm saying? So don't go beyond that. I think another thing is, as we sort of close here, I have another question for you. Share a story of how someone has served you sacrificially, not just I brought some sugar over, and what effect did that have on your life from an earthly and or spiritual perspective? How did someone serve you in such a way that it was sacrificial? They really gave of themselves, and how did that affect you? Either earthly or spiritually. We have Mary. We're down to a minute and a half, so we'll try to keep it as brief. And I think we have Chloe.
One time my husband and I both got really sick with flu, and a fellow member here, Nancy Leshevsky, took my three kids and watched them. It must have been a day or two that, because we were just so sick, we could barely
get around.
And we had a young child. I mean, Rose was probably a year old.
Wow.
So
that's a lot to take care of three children. Chloe.
My grandparents 1 year forgave a bunch of debt that I had against them and against other things, and that's always really impacted me because they didn't have to, and it was to their financial detriment, but they did that.
But they served you. So there's a variety of other stories all of us can tell, where you can remember when somebody did something for you and it meant so much. When that guy let me into his house, it wasn't a big sacrifice for him, but it did impact me. I know my father used to work at night. When he worked at night, he was asleep for, and he didn't attend church with us. He didn't sleep for two nights, but he would come on a Sunday morning one time when we had a visitor Sunday. We called it Spring Bring, and he came, and that meant so much to me that Dad wouldn't sleep for two nights because he had to work and he had to go over to my grandfather's place and help on the farm. So that meant a lot to me because it, like, wow, you know, that's giving a lot. So we'll close with this. I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Thanks so much. We will close here. Get ready for teaching. I think Brian has already sent out some questions, and he's got some videos for you to watch, so please make sure you have a look at those. Thanks so much.